everyone. This is Donna Coriel. I'm an internist. I'm the founder of SomiDocs, and I'm actually trying something new here. Always have ideas going on up in this noggin of mine. And I want to actually build an episode myself without a guest. I want to, let me just reposition my camera here in case you're watching me so that the background's nice. But I want to speak about a topic based on a post that I shared. I share a lot of posts online about healthcare and about health and about doctors and just our profession in general and the way that it's going and the way that it could be going better. And I would love to just bring up one of the posts that I shared and talk about it and sort of dissect some of the comments that were left in there because it's just an important topic, as are many important topics that hopefully I will be speaking about next. So I am sharing my screen. This was actually on LinkedIn. I'm active in different platforms. And what I shared is a comment by David Yam in LinkedIn. He calls himself a neurological surgeon. So I'm assuming he's a neurologist, but I don't know for sure. I don't know him. That's the interesting part about social media, that you can really interact and communicate with people that you don't really know much about, other than what they have on their tagline. So he wrote, and this was regarding a different post that I had up. Concise and clear medical records no longer exist and have been eliminated by the medical machine. Written concise notes or to the point dictation has been replaced with mandated full documentation of every element, most of it auto-populated, redundant, and unimportant for more than 2 decades to support maximized billing. Hospitals and clinics even employ reviewers to try to get even more documentation in place. Don't do the documentation with modern day logorrhea. You don't get paid and get pushed by the admins. The end result? There is very little value in our records anymore due to the meaningless bloat, and getting to know your patients has become increasingly difficult due to this culture. Such a great comment. I love it. I just had to build an episode around it. In fact, it inspired me to write a post. So here's my reaction to that. If anything, David Yam's comment deserves highlight just for the use of a term I've never heard before: logorrhea, peeing in my pants. Anyway, I also agree with the notion we get encyclopedias each time we visit doctors' offices. Instead of a concise summary, we get write-ups of irrelevant information. I don't blame the doctors on this one either. It's because of the litigious nature of the country in which we live. A lot of it is CYA. And if you aren't familiar with that acronym, it's short for cover your ass. Doctors practicing today have lawsuits looming over them. Have just one brought up against you, and you enter a world of hell. I'm not even talking legitimate gripes, because those do exist. But frivolous claims drawn together to merely extract cash from the healthcare machine. Yep, it's a thing. But yes, this is unfortunately just one of the results of that. Pages and pages and pages of info for each and every visit. Now, how do we fix this if it's so very intertwined? So that was my sort of reaction to his very clever response. And I just want to go over some of the responses that I got because they were great. So here's one by Jeff Willis, MD. The most recent AMA coding guidelines are actually a good start to improving the nonsense of the modern day medical record. They eliminate most of the need for repetitive garbage in the notes for coding/billing and focus on the MDM. Tagging Robert Ober, MD, the doctor of documentation. He is an expert in this who might be able to provide more commentary. So, Robert Ober, MD, the doctor of documentation, hopped in as he was tagged and said, "Agree, Jeff. Though Dr. Yam is correct in that doctors are over-documenting for what they think is required for billing rather than what is actually required for billing. I optimize my notes for both professional and hospital billing and legal considerations, but my notes are far shorter than my colleagues. The problem is billing is poorly taught. Physicians are getting the information piecemeal by various people who may have conflicting recommendations. So Overwhelmed physicians throw words at a wall and hope something sticks. It's a major problem to tackle. Something I'm attempting to do with my video courses plus newsletter plus getting education into med schools and residencies. So I'm going to read my response to him, but I just want to say really quickly, as an entrepreneur, and you can certainly click into my entrepreneurs in healthcare with Dr. Coriel. It's a separate series that actually discusses entrepreneurship. But I just want to note here that Dr. Ober is clearly a really smart and great entrepreneur with great strategy because he's come into my post and he really has pitched some of his work and he really gets free marketing in his comment. His comment is so on point and it's so great, but he also gets to pitch the fact that he has courses and newsletters in there, which is really bright. And I want to point that out as a tip for those of you who are entrepreneurial in mindset and are learning to use social media. So that was really clever on his part. I responded to him, interesting. Yes, I agree that medical coding is extremely and even ridiculously complex. If you're helping us to untangle this mess, then kudos to you. In fact, we should connect given that I'm both running a virtual private practice conference, building several series that deal with disruption, which I may be doing with Dr. Benjamin Bergman, he's a cardiologist, and growing a still baby arm of SomiDocs called Students, a sector you may seem to agree we need to connect with on this. So I believe I heard from him on private messenger, but the point is that yes, I actually do agree with him. Billing is so convoluted, and to actually have somebody explain it to us is not only so important, but I personally think it should be part of medical curriculum nowadays. I mean, if you expect us to bill, even if it's not for private practice and it's for large employees that are increasingly employing us nowadays, in fact, the majority of doctors are employed by an employer, as pointed out by Dr. Alejandro Badia in the second episode of our Entrepreneurs in
Here's a little
Healthcare, right?
snippet. It's part of it is they're so busy and they're doing what they should be doing, right? They should be taking care of patients. Thank God it, in society that most physicians are really that dedicated. But at the same time, I think we need to get our head out of the sand and collaborate more. And it's very hard. I can tell you, even at my own center, the collaboration with my colleagues, even though they're very supportive of what I'm doing, they're not really rolling up their sleeves.
All right, back to the coding rant.
It's important that we understand how to actually do this. If it's expected of us, how else do you do something, right? You wouldn't expect a surgeon to go into surgery without having had those hours, right? Teaching them surgery. So how do you expect us to bill if you don't teach us how to bill? I personally just don't get it. So that's really a great thing to add. All right. The next person who commented was Michael Sugru. I'm sorry if I mispronounced it, but he's looks like he's a chief medical officer, and he says we are launching a pretty good solution, we think, at least for the brain. Oh, that's interesting. So I did write to him that I would love to connect with him. And I actually tagged Benjamin Bergman again, who might be co-hosting with me a new show on digital disruption. Stay tuned for that. And we could be bringing him on. We already have various guests on that. We have topics laid out for digital disruption. And for those of you listening, for those of you that are paying network level members of SomiDocs, we do have other series that are in the works. And for the network members specifically, we put out an offer, a pitch to get in touch with us if you want to have play some part in these series slash have a series sort of built around your niche. Since SomiDocs is now doing that. All right. Mark Richmond, MD, who's a urologist, says EMR has destroyed medicine. I still type slash dictate my notes, but I have the benefit of not dealing with insurance. I no longer request medical records on most patients because it's usually pages and pages of utter garbage. I take my own history on every patient. That includes everything. HPI, PAMA, well, history of present illness, past medical history, past surgical history, family history, social history, allergies, and medications. This information is too vital for providing quality healthcare to rely on inaccurate EMR records generated by a scribe or anyone other than a physician. I went to two orthopedic appointments recently. The click the box MA took my information. The surgeon didn't verify anything. They literally know almost nothing about my medical history. Total joke. Medicine is doomed. And I am going to go off script and kind of add my own two cents to that. Me too. I went to a doctor myself recently as a patient, and I had to fill out so much paperwork. In fact, it was all digital, it was all in my phone. And full transparency, I actually opted to come in early. So I came in a half hour early to avoid it because I thought that I would get like actual papers to fill out. I just felt like it was more comfortable for me. And I actually had to fill it out online still. So I had to sit there in my little phone and fill out all of this information about myself. And so, what was the point of coming in early? So I feel it. Not only that, but when I actually went in, and again, it wasn't just this particular visit, but when I go in as a patient, a lot of times they ask me the same questions again. So it's like, what's the point of filling out all of these papers, right? And when they ask me again, a lot of times when the doctor comes in the room, they don't know those answers. So, as the patient, it's like, what was the point of asking me again and again and again when that information doesn't even reach the doctor? I will tell you what the point is because I know, as an internist, I know the point is legalities. The point is to cross our T's and dot our I's. So that we do what we're supposed to do before we actually get to the crux of the visit. But guess what that does? It makes the appointment longer and less meaningful and filled with crap that's unnecessary. It angers and frustrates a patient that's many times sick and is sick and bringing themselves in to see us and then feels like the entire visit or the majority of the visit is spent extracting information from there that's not even used. So what's the point? But again, as a physician who has practiced medicine clinically and seen doctor and seen patients in a clinical setting, I can tell you that it wasn't my choice to implement them. Oftentimes, it's not my choice to have those meaningless questions asked. It's made of me to ask. By the government, right? Government implements certain questions as necessary to ask. Legalities are necessary too. They implement it too, right? If you are going to potentially be sued because you didn't ask certain questions before you treated a patient, then a practice is going to sometimes automatically implement those questions to make sure that they were asked. But what happens is that so many questions are implemented because you want to cover your ass and you want to make sure that you're not sued, that they're often not only not relevant to that visit, but they're not even reviewed by the doctor because they were just asked to cover our ass. So again, it's that like catch 22 situation where you can't win. I'm going to take a break.
The following is a quick testimonial.
We'll be right back.
SomiDocs is proud to introduce Dr. Side Ventures, a new interactive Facebook group bringing doctors from across the world into one interactive space. Some of our latest discussions include revenue models for private practices, the side hustles we're growing, malpractice needed in today's world, doctor finances, how much doctor services like CPAs and lawyers charge, and more. Join us at facebook.com/groups/sideventures.
I went on SomiDocs and they were doing these 2-minute pitches and I thought, boy, I am not ready. I'm in my exercise outfit. I didn't know I was going to do this. Holy cow. And the voice in my head said, you are an entrepreneur. You are a CEO. You have to do this. Your company is relying on you. Mm-hmm. And so I went on and I did my 2-minute pitch. And afterwards, the woman that runs SomiDocs said, I know someone that you should talk to.
When you're willing to take the initiative, whether you're ready or not, fortune favors the bold. And you will find, as you pitch your ideas and share it in a public forum, there are those out there that will help you. And if you do it right, then they can lead to an official first pilot or partnership where you can do your proof of concept. And that's awesome.
I invite medical doctors, dentists, and podiatrists that are listening to this to join our network level membership and join us every 3 months for a networking hour. We have other perks that are listed on our website. Check us out at doctorsonsocialmedia.com.
All right. So the next comment that I'm going to cover is the following by Lynn Shepler. And she says, to the author of this note who is paranoid about lawsuits, I'm assuming that she means me, there are not enough lawyers to do all the lawsuits. They want only catastrophic cases. And if your negligence or that of the hospitals was so severe as to be catastrophic, you deserve to be sued. I cannot find lawyers to sue the physicians who harmed me. Most doctors will never see a lawsuit. That's fact. So cut out the fear mongering. Now, I did reply to her. I'll read to you my reply. But my, you know, my heart goes out to her in terms of whatever it was that happened to her. I don't know her and I don't know what exactly happened to her. She's clearly upset and angry, and I get it. I think that we all have our lived experience and they affect our reactions and the way that we interact with others. And so I feel really terribly for whatever has happened. And I hope that she gets it taken care of and gets it taken on, et cetera. But this is what I said in return. So I think it's all about our lived experience and perspective. There are many sides to a complicated issue like this. My commentary did not in any way get written to minimize actual negligence and malpractice. It does, however, pinpoint that there exists frivolousness and a lot of it. It may not be so in your case, and I am sure that frustration exists when true negligence is done, but that doesn't mean that what I've written about above doesn't exist. Also, I'm sorry for whatever was done to you, and I hope that it gets resolved. I actually didn't see her response, so she wrote, I only wish I could find a lawyer to bring a, quote, frivolous lawsuit. I'm not really sure what she meant by that. Obviously, if something is frivolous, then why would we want that to be brought up as a lawsuit? We don't want frivolousness, right? We want real and authentic and pure, right? We don't want anything. So I'm not really sure. Again, I don't know where she's coming from, but I do appreciate that there are lawsuits that take place where there really was criminal negligence. I can think of several off the top of my head, several different examples, including, by the way, one of the Netflix series that I saw recently with that surgeon. Is it called Bad Surgeon? Something of that type, about a surgeon that really sort of didn't get questioned. And for that reason, sort of kept doing things badly until finally, you know, there was like enough momentum to get him to stop. All right. The next comment is the following by Sheikh Abdul Qadir. And he writes, it's true. The amount of extraneous information in medical records is overwhelming. It's a symptom of a larger issue in our healthcare system. Streamlining and focusing on relevant data is key, but it will take collective effort to bring about change. So Lynn Shepler says, Epic designed them that way. An accident? Doubtful. And I wrote, there's some good in putting options in the doctor's hands or field of vision. But there's really basically one reason to have it all down on paper. And the reason is legal. It bogs down treatment plans and slows down care. It's our reality, though, because of the country that we live in. I'm not sure what the solution is here, but I'm happy to court decisions. I'm sorry, to court suggestions. And what I mean by that is that all of those clicks and all of those boxes that are sort of inclusive in an EMR system of today, you know, on one hand are built to make it easier for the doctor. You know, sometimes when it's in your face, then you think about it as opposed to if it's not in your face, and then you sort of have to resort to memory. So it's almost like making it easier for us. But at the same time, there's a lot of clicks that are put in there, to just, again, to cover your ass. I mean, that term sort of keeps coming up. In fact, maybe I'll use it in the title, right? It's that CYA type of practicing medicine that none of us really want to see have happen, whether you're a doctor or a patient. None of us, I think, that an ideal health situation and healthcare interaction should be run with cover your ass tactics involved, right? A healthcare interaction should be about the healthcare interaction and nothing else. It should be about the patient and about healing the patient in the best way possible. It shouldn't be about the doctor sitting there and thinking about, well, what should I do to make sure that I cover myself? But that's also the reality of the world in which we live. It's not because it's a bad doctor because they're doing it. It's because it's their reality, right? It's not that they're bad people. It's that they're practicing in the real world in a country where anything and everything can be sued, right? Any step that you take can be deemed a misstep if the lawyer builds a narrative and convinces a jury that it was a misstep. So it's more complicated than just, well, it's just not a good person because all they're thinking about is cover your ass. No, they're thinking about continuing practicing in their lives and not being taken to court while healing the patient, when in reality, it should be about healing the patient and not about being taken to court. So Lynn Shepler writes in as a response, I sometimes wonder if all the extraneous material is also a ploy, because in most states, to begin a lawsuit, the attorney must pay an expert in that specialties to read all the records to aver there is no frivolous lawsuit. If there are 4,000 pages, the lawyer may pay typically upwards of $3 per page. It may depend on specialty and location. The more pages there are, obviously, the more it will cost to start a lawsuit. It costs a lot of money to initiate and maintain a Med Mal lawsuit. The attorneys who do these cases actually have trial skills. Trial work is extremely stressful and requires skill acquired over time. Attorneys who are hacks don't do Med Mal. Those are the personal injury attorneys. Okay, so again, something that I personally don't have experience in, so I can't really comment too much. I can just say that, yeah, there's a ton of pages that are generated through the medical system and EMRs and things like that. And it does take a ton of work to sift through, whether it's another physician that is hoping to weigh in on the case, or it's somebody extraneous that is coming in as an attorney on either side.
Let's take a break. Check out our series section on doctorsonsocialmedia.com. It's in our content section, and we already have some really exciting existing series that you can both watch and listen to, but we have all sorts of new shows coming up. Join our network membership, take part in our series, and grow with us. Now back to our show.
Dr. David W. Hall, urologist, says, don't forget the complexities of auto-populated sections and pre-checked boxes that often create conflicting records during litigation. It's often such a mess to figure out what truly happened. To which Lynn Shepler says, by design, are the records engineered to obfuscate what really occurred? To which he answers, it often appears that way, unfortunately. And I then chime in and say, totally. I referred to it up above in a comment touching on AI. Having to sift through, quote, novels is what I often found myself doing as an internist. It covers the other doc's ass, but it makes my job harder and makes it more difficult and lengthy to find a proper solution to the person that wants to be healed. To which Dr. David Hall says, gotcha. Yes, you're spot on. Excellent post. You nailed it. Yeah, and so to talk about that just for a second, yeah, I mean, novels are being generated, literal novels are being generated in our medical records so that when you as the patient come to the next doctor and you kind of place that novel in front of them and they've already been subjected to a limited interaction time, right? Doctors are oftentimes forced to make that visit, 10, 15 minute visit. There's just no time to read through a novel. So it's a catch-22 that's been imposed upon us by factors that we cannot help as the doctors, but we need to fix it from a system-wide base, right? From the system's perspective. All right, Steve L. wrote, "And I'm sure AI will solve it," happy face. "Literally, no one is thinking about the training set being existing notes slash documents slash records, which, as the author points out, are useless through the clinician's point of view. So what will we get? More useful notes just done faster and standardized by computer. Is that useful? Real improvements come from solving the underlying problem, not using AI to automate it. Same is true for prior auth and rev cycle applications. Automated, broken, obtuse, and unnecessary processes remain so post-automation. Would be AI entrepreneurs needs to start with what problem should be solved versus what could be solved. Real innovation lies in the quote should." Now, I didn't fully understand what he was trying to say, although I understood some of it. So here's my response. I'm not sure I understand your point, not because you haven't made it, maybe because I just have not yet had sufficient caffeine this AM. Notes that work are ones that succinctly summarize the signs and symptoms at hand, taking into account patient history and current findings. The key word here is succinct, though admittedly, maybe, quote, as succinct as possible, quote, would maybe make a better fit. And in saying that, I'm just thinking of like the medical cases where people are complicated and they come with chronic illnesses and many complaints. I see AI as a tool that can certainly help our society in some ways, but it worries me in that while speeding up our workplace, it can minimize the true complaints patients have. And also, as pointed above, complicate our communication. As an internist, having 10 to 15 minutes to see a patient, I hope you can imagine how long it took for me to sift through someone's hospitalization notes, or in some cases, referral notes, when all I need is a simple answer to something, but have to sift through a novel. So yes, this is a real issue that needs addressing, and I'm not sure whether AI can solve it. Thank you for engaging, and I look forward to hearing your thoughts in return. And I'm going to take this chance to invite all of you who are listening to me to interact with my posts and become involved with SomiDocs, because I love running it and I love connecting all of you, the healthcare professionals that are working today and that are inspiring for change, just as I am. So finally, Lynn Shepler says, blame Judy Faulkner and your C-suite executives. Faulkner sells her product as, quote, customizable to C-suite executives. You got what your C-suite execs ordered. So that's interesting. And I admittedly do not know enough about this, but welcome anybody that's listening that knows enough about this to maybe hop on the show or maybe some of the series that we are building for more healthcare discussions. So again, I think that this is really, really interesting as a commentary. I will say, and I will actually stop sharing my screen here. I will say that I trained at Albert Einstein University at Montefiore in the Bronx, and I had Dr. Jerry Passioni as my my mentor and the doctor that was in charge of the program that I was in. And something that he did that I really appreciate in hindsight, even though in real time, it was really nerve-wracking to be standing there and be grilled in the way that he was known to do. Something I really love that he did was he stressed really taking a good intake, okay? He stressed the keys of an intake, the order with which we were to not only write our intake, but then present it during rounds. He was a stickler for really presenting it in the way that it should be. But it taught me how to really communicate well. And I'm so thankful to that in hindsight, because it allows me to really put my thoughts together where it comes to a patient that presents, and to really kind of structure it in such an organized way that will help to succinctly convey the problem that this patient faces and how we plan to help that patient to the next person who is taking that information in. And that's kind of what's lacking in today's world and this whole world of AI, is that it's built as a machine. So it's making assumptions, and it's built to include extraneous information that's just not relevant many of those times. And that is what generates pages upon pages upon pages of papers. And that's what puts us in this predicament And makes this such a frustrating concept. So yeah, that's what I have to say about it. I do invite you to interact and engage with this topic. I will, you know, make a hashtag for this topic. Let's say hashtag SoMeDocs. Let's do SoMeDocs. Let's build a hashtag that's hashtag SoMeDocs paperwork to kind of pull in this discussion. And so if you want to go on social media and to write about your opinion after having heard this podcast episode or this video episode, and you want to write about your own experience with paperwork and it being long and it being necessary or unnecessary in the way that it stands, you can use the hashtag SoMeDocs paperwork. And those of you that are listening that maybe want to see what others have to say about it, maybe you can search for the hashtag SoMeDocs paperwork, and we can kind of unite our thoughts in that way. That's it. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode, and I'm hoping to bring you even more soon.
Thanks so much for listening.